Ghostbusters. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If there's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
Until recently, many believed that the promise of progress in the 21st century would enable us to move beyond the barbaric horrors of the past towards a better and brilliant future. Many believed that we could go about our comfortable lives and that evil will simply pass us by. It will not.
Britain, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday speaking in English, meaning he is addressing the world to explain the behavior that Israel is engaging in and the justification for the warfare that they're prosecuting against Hamas in Gaza.
The horrors that Hamas perpetrated on October 7th remind us that we will not realize the promise of a better future unless we, the civilized world, are willing to fight the barbarians. Because the barbarians are willing to fight us. And their goal is clear. Shatter that promising future. Destroy all that we cherish. And usher in a world of fear and darkness.
You know, it's very interesting to hear the criticisms that are made against Israel, the questions that are raised, and some of which are, at least the questions raised, are legitimate. You know, I'm an advocate for Israel. I'm a defender of Israel. I think they're clearly in the right on this. I mean, I do understand, but I don't understand, and I question the judgment of the people who take the other side. You know, if you want to advocate for Palestinians, for a two-state solution, you want to advocate for avoiding the killing of civilians, all I agree with. Okay, all of that I agree with, of course. I mean, who would not? But if your argument is that, Hamas is justified, or Hamas did something that's understandable, rational, a legitimate act, or that Israel is in the wrong for making the effort to purge Gaza of Hamas, I can talk with anybody, but it's hard for me to understand what conversation you think we can have because your view of what's just in the world is just so distorted that it's baffling. It's baffling when I see the protesters. It's baffling when I see the comments that get made. You know, it's wild to me. You know, I mean, at this point in my life, I'm 52 years old. I taught logic for a long time. I understand where people are at. I shouldn't be surprised by human foolishness or misunderstanding or evil or any, you know, it's like at a certain point, you shouldn't be surprised by things. I'm still surprised, but I'm still amazed by it. Back to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Since October 7th, Israel has been at war. Israel did not start this war. Israel did not want this war. But Israel will win this war.
Because, and again, it's understanding how this started and understanding what was done is everything to understanding the difference between Israel and Hamas.
Hamas launched this war by perpetrating the worst savagery our people have seen since the Holocaust. Hamas murdered children in front of their parents, murdered parents in front of their children. They burned people alive. They raped women. They beheaded men. They tortured Holocaust survivors. They kidnapped babies. They committed the most horrific crimes imaginable. And they're part of the axis of evil that Iran has formed, an axis of terror that works by arming, training, and financing Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, and other terror proxies throughout the Middle East and beyond the Middle East.
And in case you don't remember, while shouting Allah is good, right? Now, there are other Muslims who would never condone this behavior, and good for them. The terrorists are the minority within the world of Islam. But this is their sick, twisted vision of religious totalitarianism that is shared by the leadership in Iran, not necessarily the people of Iran, is shared by the terrorist organizations and some of the population in Gaza and in Lebanon and in Syria, and sympathized with around the world to, again, what I say is just a baffling degree. But this is really, I agree with him. This is a fight between civilization and what civilization means and barbarity. And you have to have moral clarity about that, and you have to understand the difference between them is not that there's killing or not killing. The difference between them is who is a legitimate target for killing, under what circumstances, within what constraints, and what do you do differently in the way you engage in violence, and what is the purpose of your violence.
In fighting Hamas and the Iranian axis of terror, Israel is fighting the enemies of civilization itself. Victory over these enemies begins with moral clarity. It begins with knowing the difference between good and evil, between right and wrong. It means making a moral distinction between the deliberate murder of the innocent and the unintentional casualties that accompany every legitimate war, even the most just war.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the phrase war crime gets used quite a bit by people who demonstrate on behalf of Palestine or people who demonstrate on behalf of Hamas itself. They like to accuse, they frequently accuse Israel of engaging in genocide and war crimes and things like that. But Netanyahu rightly pointed out yesterday where the real war crime is.
It means holding Hamas responsible for the double war crime it commits every day by deliberately targeting Israeli civilians while deliberately using Palestinian civilians as human shields.
That's exactly right. And so, like, sort of starting points in the conversation, to me anyway, if you cannot condemn Hamas and what they did, I don't know how we'd have a conversation. That's a unambiguous, principled red line. Now, if you can condemn Hamas, then we can talk about, okay, and what's the right response to them? And what's the right way to take care of the civilians in Gaza? And I mean, you know, there's a lot of conversation we can have about that. But if you start from the premise that Hamas is justified or right or even might be, what other conversation can we have? We might be speaking English, but we're not speaking the same language of ethics. 717 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
It's a very windy Halloween morning out there. Some very strong wind gusts are being reported across the Escambia Bay Bridge, so just be aware you're going to be Matchbox 20 to push it around a little bit.
this is one of those days where the witch on the broom that's decoration slammed up against the house is... Yeah. Might have actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. Just flattened on it. If you're headed to or from Pace on Scenic Highway, a vehicle crash near the GE plant has closed the highway in both directions, just north of I-10. Also, Highway 90 in Beulah is showing the normal morning congestion for school drop-off. Otherwise, 10 and I-10 checking in clear. 98 is flowing pretty smoothly in Windhaven, Navarre, and Gulf Breeze. If you have traffic info to report, text me at 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Just one last comment. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu, yesterday in his speech, is making the comment that, you know, the Bible talks about there being a time for war and a time for peace. And he's right. Let's talk about that. There's a time for everything. This is not a time for peace. And because the time for appropriate, effective, purposeful, peace-oriented use of violence. See, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that peace is the absence of violence. No, peace is a condition that is often created by the appropriate use of violence against evil. You know, the sort of the pacifists of the world just don't understand that there are times when you have to use force. You have to suppress evil. You have to punish, thwart, incapacitate, deter. There's all kinds of tactics for preventing evil from growing or harming. But, you know, the idea that you would never, ever use force is, well, I mean, you know, it's never yet worked. There are rare times, by the way, when pacifist protests work. You know, the Indians use it effectively against the Brits. And in the South, to some degree, it was used effectively by blacks against whites. But there are certain sort of preconditions under which pacifism can be effective, or direct action, you know, civil disobedience, various forms of this concept can work. And one of the basic preconditions is it requires a sense of civility and ethics and moral code in the other person. Right? It requires them to consider their own moral standards and realize they're violating them in the perpetration of oppression. Compared with, for example, peaceful protest attempted, you know, because what some of the Jews advocated in World War II, you know, with the Nazis was you know, will comply or, you know, will peacefully resist. You can't do that if the people you're trying to peacefully resist against don't have the basic virtue inside of them that recognizes oppression and unjust violence is unacceptable and is wrong. You know, Tiananmen Square doesn't work against the Chinese government any more than a, you know, peaceful resistance would work against Vladimir Putin. It requires certain character in the oppressor, because people can be oppressors and still have sort of core virtues. And the reason, like, direct action or nonviolent protest, peaceful can work in those circumstances is because you're trying to get somebody to recognize something that's already in them that they, at a level, you know, they haven't realized they're violating, and get them to realize they're violating it. But if that thing's not in them, because they just don't have that, that's something that has to be cultivated. You know, people don't naturally get born with a sense of virtue and decency. And so you've got, you know, like the idea of like peaceful coexistence, passive resistance, or something like that, or nonviolence with regards to Hamas is, well, the thing isn't in them to be brought out so that they can correct their own behavior. Anyway, so that's one problem. The other problem is people are calling for this, like, you know, end of violence or whatever. Like, that would be a solution. Here's what Benjamin Netanyahu said.
Just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attack of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism.
And let's be clear, and I know we talk about this a lot, but it's, God, it's so important to understand sort of basic principles in international relations. We don't talk about warfare an awful lot because we don't have to talk about it an awful lot. But, you know, it is certainly true that there are things that Israel could do which would be unjustified, which would go beyond its mandate, which would be immoral. But the legitimate use of force is justified by its aim at creating and restoring peace. But peace is not just the absence of current violence. Peace is the stability of society where it is not under threat. And that's why when they have said we've got to eradicate Hamas as a threat to our way of life, to our civilization, there's no coexistence is not really possible. Not because Israel can't coexist, but because Hamas makes coexistence impossible. And Hezbollah. And Iran. The only reason coexistence with Iran exists is because we haven't figured out a way to, you know, get rid of the Iranian regime that has enough power to prevent us from getting rid of them. But coexistence with them doing this is not really possible. Coexistence with Arabs, entirely possible. Coexistence with Palestinians, Muslims, entirely possible. And Israel strives for that all the time. But coexistence with a certain subset of all of those groups that are bent on using illegitimate violence against civilians as a method of accomplishing an unjust aim of destroying everybody who happens to be Jewish? How can coexistence be? 723 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's so disappointing to hear people use the name of God flippantly. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not your homeboy, and he's not the man upstairs. His name should not be used to express your stress level. Isaiah 6 says that God is holy, holy, holy. The word holy means set apart or sacred. He's holy God the Father, and holy God the Son, and holy God the Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May I humbly suggest to you that you think twice before you devalue the name of the One which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, but instead I urge you to reverence His precious and wonderful name.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Change. positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
It's the final Bands on the Beach of the 2023 season, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, you don't want to miss Not Quite Bad. Step back in time to a Beatles concert with the hair, the outfits, and the entire Beatles experience. With Not Quite Fab, bust out your best costumes too, because it's Halloween. Don't miss Bands on the Beach, the final performance of the season with Not Quite Fab this Tuesday night at 7.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
You'd like that?
Intensely.
Oh man, it just gives me the creeps every time. It's so good. It's so good. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Halloween. Jake has got your traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, the wind is a little scary this morning going across the Scambia Bay Bridge. If you have to go across there, just be aware you're going to be pushed around a little bit by the wind there. If you're headed to or from Pace on Scenic Highway, FHP is on the scene of a vehicle crash near the GE plant that has Scenic Highway closed in both directions just north of I-10, so avoid that area if you can. Otherwise, 10 and I-10 checking in clear. 98 is flowing pretty smoothly through Windhaven, Navarre, and Gulf Breeze so far. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. Executive Landscaping, 250-3756. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A trial to determine whether former President Donald Trump can be kept off of Colorado's 2024 ballot is going on in Denver. Lawyers for a group that filed that lawsuit accused Trump of supporting an insurrection. They believe he should be prohibited from running in future elections under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And the UAW strike against all three Detroit automakers has now come to an end. General Motors has reached a tentative contract agreement with the UAW. GM was the last automaker to reach a deal. Apparently, there's a...
Did they give them the four-day work week?
They did not. Oh, no, but they did get a 25% pay increase, so that's pretty good, right?
Well, there goes the price of cars. Okay, fine. Yeah.
And apparently, there's a police impersonator on the loose over in DeSoto County. A warning went out to residents there that somebody's attempting to pull people over in a pickup truck equipped with red and blue lights. The truck is a Silverado, white. It's got green decals. Kind of does look like a sheriff's vehicle. There is one exception to this truck, though. It well, the writing on the truck actually says Booty Patrol. They've got photos of it. It's been out
is
driving
around Super Trooper gear. I mean, you know, what's the attire once he gets out of the vehicle?
I don't know that, yeah. But yeah. Apparently, the truck has been all over DeSoto.
Just looking
and
for a bachelor
counties.
Party to arrest somebody. That's or a bachelorette party to arrest somebody. Yep. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 729 News Radio 92.3. Yeah, the question about Trump and the 14th Amendment. It really is. It's much less obvious than it seems. On the one hand, those who say he engaged in insurrection, there is a point to that, and there is an argument to be made. Those who say that he did not, he was engaged in free speech, that he didn't support that the Confederacy banning of members of becoming members of Congress and electors for president and vice president doesn't apply to president and vice president. It's unclear in the language. And if they'd have meant to include president, vice president, they would have included it. And then he was only engaged in First Amendment protected free speech. It's not an obvious case. I'm just telling you. Should it be decided this way? Well, that's also a fair question. You know, what would happen to the country if the most desirable candidate by such a wide number of Americans were disqualified through this mechanism? That's a fair question, right? But then again, you might have somebody who wanted to run for a third term get disqualified because it's running for a third term. That might frustrate people, but that is the rule.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Israeli military fighting inside Hamas tunnels underneath Gaza. Fox's Greg Palcott describes the complicated 300-mile network.
Where they hide out, where they plan their attacks, where they have command and control centers, where they store ammunition, and it's really believed where they're stashing maybe a lot of these 230-plus hostages, which they have.
Israel also saying they've killed another Hamas commander. U.S. troops in the Middle East under fire again. Two armed drones target Iraq's Ain al-Assad Air Base. No casualties reported. And the Maui Police Department releasing body-worn camera footage from the August 8th wildfire.
Fire starting up again. This house is going to catch on fire pretty soon. They have propane tanks, so I would get out now.
Okay.
Yep, grab everybody. Everybody's got to evacuate.
And to date, the official death toll of the wildfire is 99. Four people remain unaccounted for. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio, 92.3, and happy Halloween. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 54 degrees. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. The Pensacola dentist that was convicted of inappropriately touching an employee and several other patients will now be sentenced next year on a perjury charge. Channel 3 reporting Dr. Charles Stamatolis pleaded no contest yesterday on a felony perjury charge. He'll be sentenced January 11th. During legal proceedings over his battery case last January, Stamatolis violated terms of release by going to Mobile to buy a car. He then lied about that, initially saying he had an emergency. Well, there may be a new 60-home subdivision coming to cantonment sometime. The Makaira Ridge subdivision being proposed off of West Roberts Road. The developers proposed 60 homes on 14.5 acres, which is not developed, so the community would have to be built up from scratch. The lots would reportedly range from 5,800 to 13,000 square feet. The News Journal reporting that the project's initial application has been reviewed by the County Development Review Committee earlier this month, but so far there's no date on when it will come back up for further discussion. Congressman Matt Gaetz says the early return for Mike Johnson's tenure as House Speaker has looked good.
In the first 7 months that Kevin McCarthy was Speaker of the House, you know how many single subject appropriations bills we passed? One. In the first, 36 hours of Mike Johnson being Speaker, we already passed one.
And one of Gaetz's main problems with Kevin McCarthy was the use of continuing resolutions rather than single subject spending bills. The House is expected to vote on an aid package for Israel this week. Speaker Johnson has called on President Biden to separate the bills for Israel and Ukraine. SpaceX has some more satellites now spreading internet around the world. The company launched another 23 Starlink satellites into low Earth orbit last night. That happened at the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station at about 7 o'clock last night. Well, a decade-long goal is now complete over at Pensacola State College. They officially cut the ribbon on that new Bear Jones Moore Reeves Center for Advanced Math and Technology on Monday.
It is a two-phase building. The original Bars building that was torn down, we left that name in place for the first phase. And then these four donors that together have given $1 million, we have named this building in their honor.
Dr. Ed Meadows there, and as you heard, it's phase two of the STEM complex. It's joined with the Bars Technology Building via a third floor connector. The $22.5 million building will house PSC's math department and also allow the college to expand their cybersecurity programs. And firefighters in Alabama shedding some light on the dangers associated with exposure to fentanyl. Volunteer Fire Chief Kenny Ping tells Channel 3 that his assistant chief, also his daughter, had a recent health scare after giving Narcan to someone that was overdosing.
She was right there in his face and no air in the camper, little old camper trailer. And so then she just got infected with it.
And that happened at a mobile home on Highway 90, and the woman was given Narcan and fluids and taken to a hospital, and she's since been released and is doing better. 7:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
Well, it's a very windy morning out there. If you're going to be headed across the Escambia Bay Bridge, just be aware you're going to be pushed around a little bit out there. And if you're headed to or from Pace on Scenic Highway, FHP is on the scene of a vehicle crash there near the GE plant that has Scenic Highway closed in both directions, just north of I-10. So avoid that area if possible. Also, 98 westbound approaching Tiger Point and Avalon Boulevard is starting its normal morning slowdowns. If you have any traffic info to report, you can text us at 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We do have a cold front that has moved through, keeping things nice and chilly for Halloween. 62 degrees for your high today, partly cloudy skies, lows tonight dropping into the 40s. As you go into Wednesday, waking up very chilly, we will have sunny skies, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's a beautiful fall morning right now. 53 degrees in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, and 53 in Milton. And our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Goldman Sachs now says a government shutdown before the end of the year is unlikely, although it remains a possibility early next year, given that lawmakers may opt for a short-term funding bill. Economists at Goldman Sachs were previously forecasting a 2 to 3 week shutdown this quarter, during which Congress's current November 17th funding deadline falls. They now see a shutdown this year is unlikely due to Congress grappling with geopolitical challenges and new leadership in the House. Elon Musk wants to turn his social media platform X into a dating site as part of his push to transform it into the Everything app. Musk last week told employees X will become a fully-fledged dating site in 2024. It's unclear what Musk has in mind for dating app features on X and what the timeline for those might be. Beyond his statement, it would happen next year. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open after stocks soared yesterday. The Dow surged 511. And that's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. The UWF Historic Trust is hosting the third annual Bootleg Ball event on Friday, January 12, 2024. Join Wendy Davis on the Pensacola Expert Panel and learn how to support the Historic Trust while having a roaring good time. Tune in this Thursday at 9 a.m. to learn more about the Bootleg Ball. That's this Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out, but radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Halloween, and it's a little chilly today. I love that. It's good for Halloween. Trick-or-treating needs to be not too hot, which I will take that. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me, Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Why don't we start there, just because it is Halloween, and I want to make sure we don't run out of time to make sure to tell people It never stops being useful to remind people of the basics when it comes to kid safety and Halloween. You are the expert. What are the basic things you tell parents when they're getting their kids ready, buying costumes, setting up, you know, whatever, anything you want to tell people?
Well, I think that, you know, like you said, there are some basics, and I don't know that I'm the expert in it. It doesn't take a genius to figure out, hey, what is a danger to my children? In anything, whether it's Halloween or whether you're going to an amusement park or anything, and you just think, okay, in Halloween, it would be maybe being run over by a car or hit by a car. And so you would want to make sure that your child and you or whoever's walking with them, first of all, supervised if they're young children, and then that they can be seen. So some sort of reflective costume, a flashlight if you don't have that, and obviously pay good attention to your surroundings. And, you know, pay attention to what houses they go to. You know, it's, I'm not saying that people are trying to poison them like back in the, you know,
right, all the
ago,
rumors and urban legends, right?
You take your candy to the hospital to get it x-rayed for razor blades and all that kind of that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure if that's ever happened, but it's one of those urban myths that might happen. But I would pay attention to what your children are eating, whether it's something you want them to eat or not. It may not be suitable for the age or appropriate or for the age of the child that's actually
We still candy. Always, when they bring back candy to the house, we always look it over just to be sure.
Tell them, do not eat it on the way, right.
Yeah, abundance of caution, never been a
because
problem.
Because it might be stuff that I want.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get a tax out of it. I mean, how are you supposed to be a good parent if you don't get some of your stuff? That's right. But also just the note for drivers. It's, I mean, my advice, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but my advice to people is, hey, if you can avoid driving around tonight, do it. You know, you don't need to be out tonight. There's a lot of people, you know, with their kids out, and avoid it. Go slow. Every street is a danger. Every street is a school zone tonight.
And,
you know?
And I think, you know, the people that you know, in your house, you can turn on some lights for the mm-hmm. kids so that people mm-hmm. can see in the neighborhood. There are people that drive from neighborhood to neighborhood. So they pack up and
right.
go to good neighborhood after good neighborhood.
Right.
I wish I could do that
strategic
when I was younger.
Strategic trick-or-treating.
You know,
that's right.
I had one neighborhood. We lived on a cul-de-sac. So we had three cul-de-sacs one way and three cul-de-sacs the other way.
Right.
And that was the extent of our Halloween. But our costumes weren't elaborate anyway. So
and
it's not like we're showing off.
That's right. Right. Another good safety tip is, do be sure to scare the kids as best you can.
You know, it's always funny to watch the kids, you know. Funny until you scare that small guy
right.
that starts running back and trips and hurts himself.
I mean,
that
is kind of part of the experience of hazing that Halloween is. All right, so I just wanted to make sure that we got to – oh, and just one other quick thing is you guys are doing your canine costume contest?
Yeah, every year we have our canine handlers. They'll dress up their canines and as different things. So we were having a vote over the last several days. I think it's ended now, and if it hasn't already, it should be put out, the winner of the Skamania County Sheriff's Office Canine Costume Contest.
I feel like in the year 2023, I have to ask this question. Do the canines consent?
Yes. Yes, they did.
They did. Okay. Yeah. So signed waivers and yeah. paw prints and all
they're,
the affidavits
they're
you need.
They're all in.
Good.
They're all in. In fact, you just, if they understand candy's involved,
they're definitely in. All right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have happened this week. We had a, I guess it was an argument over spilt beer inside of a campsite inside of a tent that wound up involving a hatchet in the head. Do I have that about right?
That's correct. A couple homeless guys drinking beer around there. One of the beers gets spilled. There's some disagreement over who spilt the beer, but one person took it to an extreme and it grabbed a nearby hatchet and hit the other gentleman in the head. And we ended up charging him with the hatcheting.
Was there, attempted murder? What was the level of,
I think at this point the injuries were not severe.
Not bad enough.
It was aggravated battery.
Okay.
And it was not I didn't hover over him and intend to kill him.
Repeatedly or anything like that.
An anger type of a situation.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, scary. Certainly scary.
Well, no one wants to get hit with a hatchet.
Right. Hatcheting, as you described it, is not the goal of anybody when they get together to drink beers. In Century, we had somebody actually killed by gunfire on Sunday morning. What happened here? Or what do we know at this point?
Well, right now the investigation is active, and we're asking if anyone has information to let us know. Our investigators yesterday were combing the area looking for anyone that had video surveillance or anyone that knew anything.
And this was an outside. It's in the street, right?
That's correct. It was found right there on, Century Boulevard. And around 2 o'clock in the morning, a man was deceased, and he had multiple gunshot wounds. That's all we have at this point. At least that's all we can reveal at this time. But again, if anyone has information, please let us know.
Okay. We had a interesting, it's not the only hatcheting that we had this week, although the other one wasn't against a person, right? This was, or was it? What happened this
other
case?
No. And this one, we had a pace guy, 19-year-old pace man. Looks like he's 14, but he's a 19-year-old guy.
I thought that too. I saw the picture and I was like, what is that 12-year-old doing on the
We
on
verified
the
his age. Obviously, we wouldn't put him out there unless we were sure of it. And
right.
Joseph McGee is in Skamania County Jail. We got him with two counts of burglary of a residence and one of a vehicle. We got a call from a homeowner that said, hey, I think I hear someone, you know, trying to get in my back door. So we get there pretty quickly to the deputy's credit. And when he gets there, he sees this guy, and he's hiding behind the front of a car in the driveway. And so deputies get out, try to catch him, and he takes off running. Not fast enough, obviously. Our deputies catch him hiding in a nearby yard, end up arresting him. And then when we when we go to the door that the caller, the original caller, was asking us about, we see that sure enough he had stolen a hatchet from another burglary, and then he had was trying to pry open the storm door or the outside exterior door of the
So in this
home.
Case, the hatchet wasn't a weapon; it was a device,
a burglary tool.
Yeah, okay. It was a lock pick, a screen door pick, or something.
It was.
Yeah, you say fleeing. I'm looking at the picture, and I'm not sure that he wore the appropriate attire to facilitate the fastest flight.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. Obviously, he shouldn't be a burglar in the first place, and then obviously to run from deputies. We got him. We got some of the stuff that the ill-gotten booty that he had in his possession.
Blank business checks, methamphetamines,
from a Christian type business, and we assumed those were stolen as well. And then he had a couple, a pocket knife, and again that hatchet that we ended up seizing, and obviously there's a picture on our Facebook page of some of this stuff. Some of it's still tagged for evidence, so you're seeing the same pictures that will be used in trial.
Okay, very good. Let's take a quick pause here. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right, we've got some slowdowns we're watching this morning. First of all, if you're headed to or from Pace on Scenic Highway, FHP is on the scene of a vehicle crash near the GE plant that has the highway closed down in both directions, just north of I-10, and that still looks closed down at this point. 98 westbound approaching Tiger Point is starting to slow down before Avalon Boulevard. Pensacola Boulevard and East Roberts Road, north of 10 miles, showing some major slowdown there. And just remember, it's a very windy morning out there, so if you're headed across the Escambia Bay Bridge, please use caution. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You also had a substantial fentanyl arrest. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it was a substantial methamphetamine arrest, but it's also mixed with fentanyl.
Okay.
We made a traffic stop. One of our deputies made a traffic stop, and we ended up arresting a Derek Hardy and a Ariel Perich, P-E-R-R-I-C-H. Those are the names of the people. We charged them with trafficking in methamphetamine because we found 400 grams of methamphetamine, but also found some fentanyl. If you recall, what we're seeing is they're mixing a little bit of fentanyl with a number of different drugs, whether it's marijuana, methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is bad enough as it is. It's causing a lot of problems on its own. But when you mix it with even a small amount of fentanyl, then it becomes even more dangerous, and obviously it's become deadly. Someone in one of our meetings was asked about, oftentimes we do find a large amount of this drug, but then a smaller amount of fentanyl, and is it fentanyl that bad? And I'm like, yes, fentanyl is terrible. Anyone that would think that doesn't know what I know, know that, hasn't gone to the scenes of these cases like our deputies have and see the all the overdoses that we're seeing.
Well, we've got a story in the news today about, somebody who was, basically administering Narcan and came in contact with it, and then she had to be Narcan, first responder had to be Narcan in response to the fact that she came in contact with the fentanyl, right?
Yeah, the more robust our investigations and our efforts are to deal with this fentanyl crisis, then obviously we have to pay attention to that. Our narcotics guys do, search warrants. They kick doors in, and then they got fentanyl all around. Last year, I think we had one, and it was fentanyl on the counter, and then there was fentanyl white powder. It looked like fentanyl right near where the a baby carriage would be. And it was just, it only takes a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's like you said, first responders, there's a video of a South Florida deputy being overcome by fentanyl during a traffic stop as well. And all of our deputies carry Narcan, and obviously we have it for our canines.
They carry it on their person.
In the car.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, we do that because of just how dangerous the fentanyl is. And again, we've taken this, two-prong approach where we're trying to get the upper levels. That's why you're seeing so many large seizures that our men and women at the sheriff's office have been doing. But also a lot of these traffic stops. I've in my almost 40 years in law enforcement never seen the large number of large amount of drugs that are seized during traffic stops that I've seen over the last year or so at the sheriff's office. It's just
so just odd question that suddenly comes to mind. The canines, are obviously historically that's one of the primary ways in which you identify there's drugs in a car. But I assume the fentanyl is as dangerous to them, they're mammals too, as it would be to us. How Is that a problem you run into, that the canines wind up getting in contact with the fentanyl? Because even a tiny amount, I would think, that they can alert on could still... I mean, I don't know. You tell me.
It is. It's absolutely a concern for us, and it's what our canine handlers and the supervisors in our canine unit deal with during their training. You know, I don't know exactly how they do it, but I understand that they... you know, if there's an alert, then they'll pull their dog as quickly as they can so that the dog doesn't continue to sniff.
So they alert and get them off the car.
Yeah, because again, we talk about it being with marijuana or with something that might they might alert to from a distance. They've got pretty good noses on them,
right?
And so they alert pretty quickly.
The other thing, and you just were talking about meth arrests and how many you know more arrests you're making as a search incident to a traffic stop,
right?
Is my understanding that a couple of years ago, the reason we don't hear about, you know, meth labs or car meth, you know, being like explosions and the missing, is that that's basically being manufactured and trafficked in rather than like from Mexico, rather than being manufactured here. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is so cheap and so abundant from Mexico and through the border and into our area that there's no need to make it in your sink anymore. And it's just easier and more convenient. I guess our drug dealers are you know, they're taking the easy route as well.
Right.
You know, they're outsourcing.
Well, I mean,
if
it's cheaper and safer, weirdly, you know, I mean, it's safer in one sense anyway.
Well, I mean, they're in it to try to make money.
Right.
And you know, and if they take a smaller footprint, they don't have to have a kitchen or a container or something in the garage to make their methamphetamine. They can get that readily. And we talked about it, and I'll mention it again, the large amounts of methamphetamine that we are seizing. Our deputy's doing a jam-up job.
Last thing I just want to ask you is, do you find on Halloween, and I know we're not quite a full moon, we're a day or two past the full moon, but do you find on Halloween that do criminals try to take advantage of the, you know, hey, it's okay to wear a costume, it's okay to wear a mask? Do you find more problems on Halloween aside from dealing with the kids and the safety and all that kind of stuff?
Not really.
Okay.
No,
just like other day.
There will be people out partying, and then crimes of opportunity will take place. You know, if you got some people that are inclined to be criminals and they're out, you know, a little later at night. But you know, the trick or treatings happen a little early. You know, just as it gets dark,
and
they should be pretty much clearing up. At least people start turning lights off, right? You know, around, I don't know what time, 8-ish.
Any incident you remember historically, like weirdest costume you had to arrest somebody in?
No.
Any superhero fights?
well, I mean, there have been costume parties,
yeah, right.
You know, before Halloween
Tuesday,
or the weekend before or something, but nothing that I can really think of. People have been fairly well behaved.
All right, fair enough. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Sheriff for Escambia County, as always, sir. Thanks for the time, keeping us safe, giving us good advice and guidance, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport. A sleek, compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home of the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, Angelina's champagne dinner, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You moved the cemetery, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You left the bodies and you only moved the headstones! You only moved the headstones! Lie! Lie!
Best Craig T. Nelson role ever after Coach. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, right. Informative, local, dependable. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right, we're still looking at this situation over on Scenic Highway. FHP is on the scene of a vehicle crash near the GE plant that has Scenic Highway closed in both directions just north of I-10, so avoid that area if possible. 98 westbound approaching Tiger Point and Avalon Boulevard. Also 98 on the other side eastbound near the Aegean Express. We're seeing our normal morning slowdowns in those areas. Pensacola Boulevard and East Roberts Road north of I-10 is also showing some congestion. If you have any traffic info to report, you can text me at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Republicans are putting forward a standalone $14.3 billion aid package for Israel as it fights Hamas militants. That package also apparently is tied to some significant cuts to the IRS. Apple's unveiled a 3-nanometer chip for personal computers. They say this next generation chip will allow for more transistors in a smaller space, making it faster and more efficient. Those chips are expected to be in the new MacBook Pro and iMacs.
Coming soon to iHand near you. You'll just be able to put it right there in your hand, right. Your forehead. Exactly. It'll be perfect. Yep. Everybody will be happy.
It'll be wonderful.
No, thank you.
And the Supreme Court is hearing a case today centered around when a government official can block access to social media. I believe you discussed this a little bit earlier, but at issue is when a government official uses social media in an official capacity and if blocking other users from their posts amounts to a violation of a First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating case, and this is sort of one of those like, well, what would you do? You know, because people engage in what's essentially the digital version of defacing the Facebook page or the Twitter, you know, like just repeatedly commenting long comments, not necessarily obscene, but just so much. It's so vitriolic that it's like it's destroying the space for useful conversation. You know, I've been fairly lucky. I haven't really had to. I mean, I think I might have like two people ever that I ever had to block on Facebook, you know, and but I understand for some people they're not that lucky. And
yeah, and I'm still waiting to be unblocked, by the way.
No, look, 6 months in, just 6 months in, you know, be patient.
One day.
So I really sympathize with the elected officials in this case because I don't think, personally, my own view is I don't think it makes sense to classify an elected official's Facebook page as a public space that the government is responsible for protecting discourse in that you cannot personally block, limit, hide. So, I mean, you know, I prefer government officials to allow comment. I prefer them to allow open discussion. But, yeah, I don't see this as a First Amendment issue the same way that other people do personally. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going? What was I going to tell you about? There's another interesting case. You know, the Supreme Court has gotten involved in the Seminole Gaming Compact, right? The one that would allow us to do sports betting via digital housed on servers on Seminole land. You know, this is part of the big gaming compact from, last year, 2 years ago? I forget. Anyway, and of course, the real issue in this is largely going to come down to whether you believe that if I use an app here in Pensacola that interacts with a server on Seminole land, does that count as gambling taking place on Seminole land, or does that count as gambling taking place in Pensacola? I think that's largely going to be the issue in the end of which way that
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.